Good morning or good afternoon to everyone, however you are listening to this or whatever time. This is week number 7 of the healing course, Believe You Receive When You Pray. And what an apropos time. It's so relevant to what's going on in our world, right across the world actually today. So we're looking at the fourth foundation statement of the chart you've all been given. What does God give to the sick? Now, the failure to understand what God gives to the sick when hands are laid upon them has cost many, many people their healing. Our lack of understanding as to what God gives is the main reason few ever step into the position of believing they receive when they pray. Failure to really grasp this issue has caused many people who've been prayed for to become disillusioned and frustrated, and many have just simply given up. Now, this disappointment and frustration is really the result of a lack of Bible knowledge and understanding. Unfortunately, many have allowed their experiences or the experiences of other people to produce wrong conclusions as to what God gives when hands are laid upon them. So the question here is, what do the sick expect to receive when they're prayed for? Well, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the manifestation of healing. They are expecting to receive the manifestation of healing. And that's not exactly what God promises. Let me explain. What the sick person generally expects to receive is a manifestation of the healing for whatever sickness or disease that they have at that time. So if what God gives is healing manifestations, then why would Jesus instruct us in Mark 11:24 to believe that we receive when we pray? If what God gives is a manifestation of healing, then we'd know we had it, and we wouldn't need to believe because it would be there. And believing that we receive would be completely unnecessary because we'd already have it. The very fact that Jesus tells us to believe that we receive tells us clearly that typically when we pray, we'll not receive an instant manifestation. We will not receive an instant manifestation. I remember years and years ago when I had what the doctors called an extreme case of rosacea all over my body. And I, for months, sought healing and studied and looked to God because really there was no earthly medicine for me except to live by a very strict diet, which of course included no coffee. And of course I knew that wasn't of God, so I prayed and prayed, and finally I received a manifestation of my healing, and I was all happy and excited, only to lose it within a few days. And that was very frustrating. And so I prayed and prayed again for months and received it a second time. And I was a little more cautious this time. I waited a few days just to make absolutely certain it wasn't going to disappear on me again. And when it didn't disappear, I announced again I was healed. And as you all know who've heard this story, only to lose it a second time, which was, to say the least, very devastating. The third time, after having a big boo-hoo and so forth, I went back to the Lord, and to make a long story short, the third time I received the healing in my spirit. Not in my physical body, but in my spirit. And I went around announcing to people that I was healed again, completely healed, permanently. And most of them thought I'd lost my mind because they could see the symptoms all over my body. Well, not all over, but they could see the arms and face and neck and legs and so forth, and knew that by appearance, I did not appear to be healed. But it took about 3 days of walking around like that, and eventually, poof, one moment to the next, my healing manifested, and I've never had it since then. So, when we obey Mark 11:24 to believe we receive when we pray, Jesus, if we read it carefully now, Jesus did not promise us an instant manifestation. We know this because he said that when we pray, we are to believe that we receive. And this really, it indicates that there's going to be a period of time, or likely a period of time, between the time we pray and the time the healing manifests. Now, that's not always the case. Not always. I prayed. There are times when I prayed for people when they received an instant manifestation. But especially among Christians, generally speaking, there is a time lag. And this is the time period that we are going to have to walk by what we believe and not by what we see or feel. We have to walk by faith and not by the manifestations or lack of manifestation. So if healing manifestations are not what God gives, then what does God give to the sick when they pray or have hands laid upon them? What in fact is he giving them? What God gives is the exact same ingredient that Jesus gave to the sick people when he manifested or ministered to them here on the earth. Jesus did not give one thing to the sick and the Father gives something different. So what Jesus gave to the sick is exactly what God gives to the sick today. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus represented the Father and carried out the Father's business here on earth. And what Jesus did while he was here on the earth is exactly what the Father would do or would have done if he had come personally. So again, what did Jesus give to the sick? What did he give? Well, let me just see here. Jesus could only give the sick that which he had. That's the only thing he could give, that which he had. Consider this. If a sick person came to Jesus when Jesus was 11 years old, could Jesus have given him anything? No, he could not have given him anything. Now, why couldn't he? Why couldn't Jesus give him something? Well, because Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. That's what Jesus did for you, and that's what Jesus did for me. Praise God. We are grateful, grateful, grateful for God's graciousness to us. The scripture tells us that when Jesus came into this world, he stripped himself of all his heavenly privileges, including his power, and became as a man. Now, let me read to you here from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. Now, if Jesus came as God, with all his powers, he would not have needed to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men, because he would already be there, far above all men, and he would have been far beyond anything that we could ever hope to grasp ourselves. So knowing this, could Jesus have given the sick anything at age 11 or 12 or 22? No. No, he couldn't. From the birth of Jesus until he was baptized in the Jordan River by John, Jesus didn't do any miracles. Why not? Well, he didn't have anything to give to those who were in need of a miracle. However, at age 30, something happened. Something happened. What happened? Well, let's look at it here. Book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now, it's a familiar scripture which we should all know by heart, but it's always best to go directly there and to read it. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, there's a number of things in there that we need the Holy Spirit, and we need the power of God flowing through us, and that God was with him to enable him to defeat the devil, to completely and totally defeat him. And that's what we need to have in us, is the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God flowing through us, so that we also can completely and totally defeat the enemy, especially in this day and age when we're fighting against this coronavirus. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed it. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And it was during this baptismal service that God gave to Jesus the things that he had never possessed on earth before. And what was that? Well, Acts 10:38 tells us. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, filled. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. And also, he was anointed with power. So he was anointed with power, supernatural power, which enabled him to go about defeating the enemy, defeating sickness, defeating disease, standing against all the wiles of the enemy. Power to heal all those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him, and oppression, including this coronavirus, comes from the devil. And from that point on, Jesus had something to give to the sick when they came to him for help. And he either gave them manifestations of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit willed, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, or he gave them healing power, some of his healing power. So we ask the question again, what does Jesus give to the sick today when hands are laid upon them, what does he give? He gives them healing power. He gives them power. Power to be healed. Power to be healed. But that power has to be laid hold of. We have to lay hold of that power and believe we receive. That's where it's so important in Mark 11:24, to believe we receive. That too often people come to the altar or are prayed for, and the attitude is, well, let's see what you've got. You know, let's see what you can do for me. But it doesn't work that way. You see, God said it doesn't work that way. When we come, we need to come to the altar believing the moment hands are laid on me, the moment hands are laid on me, I will be healed. I will be healed. I will be healed. I receive that in Jesus' name. The moment hands are laid on me, I will be healed. And believe that. And it's often a good idea to sit before you come up for prayer, or before you're prayed for, even if it's at home or wherever, and just sit and meditate. Meditate on the scriptures that tell us what his healing anointing is there for everyone. We to go over the scriptures that we have on this chart to tell us that this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be well. He wants us. God wants everyone to be well. And that God is a generous, generous, generous giver. And that he gives through the laying on of hands and other ways, anointing of oil, spoken word, handkerchiefs, and so forth. But that the main way Jesus gave was through the laying on of hands. And that when he laid hands, even Jesus himself, you know, when he laid in his own hometown where the unbelief was so strong and they refused to believe in him, even there in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, I believe it is, they just didn't want to believe that Jesus would heal them, that he was who he said he was. And so as a result of that, very few people actually received. Only, the Bible says, only a few very sickly people. And in another place where Jesus had to take the man out of town just to get him away from the town, because even there, when he took them away from the unbelief, will affect your ability to receive God's power. Unbelief will block it. And so Jesus took the man, took him out of town, laid hands on him, and he said, "Do you see?" And he said, "Well, I see men walking as trees." So again, Jesus, who had the Holy Spirit without limit, had to lay hands on this man a second time to enable him to receive. So if you have to be prayed for more than once, it's don't be shocked. It's not the end of the world. What needs to happen is you need to soak more. You need to soak more in the miracle healing grace of the scriptures that tell us, that tell you that God is your healer. God is your healer. God is your healer. Till you get to the place where you know all these scriptures, you know them by heart, where they become so real to you. That's why soaking in the grace of God, soaking in worship, soaking in and meditating, studying, healing scriptures, especially today with this coronavirus going around. More and more we need it. We need the healing power of God working in our lives, doing supernatural things within us, causing us to be filled with faith, knowing that God is our healer. God is our healer. God is our healer. You should tell yourself that 10 times every day. Just confess, God is my healer. God is my miracle worker. God is the one who gives me grace. Amen? So we've established that. What does Jesus give the sick today? Well, he gives them power. Power to be healed. The foundation, let's see, where are we at now? 1, 2, 3, 4. We're up to number 4, level 4. God gives healing power to the sick. It's healing power that God is giving. So what the sick needs to know about our God is that, number 1, he is willing to heal all. There are no exceptions. He is willing to heal all. Now, sometimes if we are filled with animosity or bitterness or unforgiveness, those that are living in sin, those things can block God's healing power. But it doesn't take very long to get that straightened away, and you repent and you receive God's cleansing power. So that's number one. God is willing to heal all. Number two, the second level, is that God is not only a giver, He is a generous giver. He gives exceeding, Ephesians 3:20, I believe, says, He gives exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Number three is the methods that God uses. And we've talked about that God uses the anointing of oil by the elders. He uses the name of Jesus, handkerchiefs, spoken word. But the main way that Jesus used was He gives through the laying on of hands. He gives on laying on of hands. That seemed to be the most effective way. When Jesus ministered to multitudes, and the multitudes, He did not know their state of level of faith, He used the method that would get the most through, and that was the laying on of hands. And number four, what does He give? Well, what God gives the sick is what they need. Healing power. He gives healing power to the sick. Now, the sick need to believe. They need to believe that even if you have, even doesn't matter who it is, even Jesus, if He appeared in the flesh here, in fact, we have that example where Jesus was ministering to that man and had to take him out of town, take him away from all the unbelief, and lay hands on him. And even then, the man said, I see men walking about as trees. That even Jesus himself had to lay hands twice on this man. And so if he has to do that, then we need to know that unbelief is a dangerous, dangerous thing. It's worse than a virus. Unbelief will rob us. It will rob us. So how do we get rid of unbelief? Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, Romans 10:17, that it is increasingly and incredibly important that we soak in the scriptures, we soak in them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He himself bore every infirmity and carried away every disease. By his stripes you have been healed. Jesus is your healer. He is your healer. Forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. That those, just I've named three or four there, those scriptures, they need to soak in us until they become more real than this coronavirus or any other virus or any other sickness or any other disease. That we soak in these truths. God, you are my healer. We need to say it out loud, not think it. And not hold it in reserve to, oh, well, one day I may need it, so I'll just keep it around. Every day. You get up in the morning, thank you, God, that your miracle healing grace, it's flowing through my body. I am full of health and vitality because Jesus himself bore every infirmity and carried away every single disease. I am filled and anointed with the power of God. The Spirit of God dwells inside of me. He himself has forgiven. He has forgiven every one of my sins and healed every single disease. Every single disease. Greater is he that is in, that's 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me, the Spirit of the Lord, than he that is in the world, the devil and all his sicknesses and all his diseases. You need to affirm that. You need to affirm it. You need to affirm it and speak it out and say it. And the time to do this is when you're healthy. The time to do this is when you don't need it. The time, well, you'll always need it. But the time to do this is when you're feeling totally and completely healthy and you don't feel any kind of sickness. That's the time. It's like you're building up super muscles, spiritually speaking, and causing your body to be filled with the anointing of God, with the grace of God, with the supernatural power of God. So, why are so many having difficulty believing they receive when they pray? Well, it's because of a lack of knowledge. You know, and knowledge, a lack of knowledge will destroy us. And that they need to have this knowledge to these foundational truths that I've been speaking of. Once this foundation is solidly laid within us, entering into the realm of faith and believing that we receive when we pray is well within our reach. I'm going to say that again. Once this foundation is solidly laid within us, entering into the realm of believing that we receive when we pray is well within our reach. And we'll look at solid evidence that what God gives to the sick is healing power. Healing power, miracle healing power. We looked at Acts 10:38, where God gave Jesus power to give to the sick. He gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave Jesus the Holy Spirit. And he gave Jesus power, supernatural power. So that'll be it for today. But let me encourage you strongly, strongly, strongly. You can see by how many people are being affected today. How many people, there's thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands around the world are being affected. We need to know Jesus, our healer. We need to know Jesus. God has given us, this course is probably the best material I have ever seen, and I have gathered it. I don't take credit, I've gathered it from the best teachers that have lived in the world, most of whom are dead now, but their time has come and gone. But we need to learn from what they learned, and they learned that Jesus Christ is their healer. They learn that Jesus is, and you can. There is absolutely no reason, if we do this, that we have to put up with any kind of sickness or disease. I'm telling you, God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. When my back seized up, my goodness, it must be 38 years ago now, 36 years ago, and it was so bad that they were going to pension me off on disability for the rest of my life, because the only option I had was to have my back fused, and that's never a good option, never, never. Now, I'm going to tell you, it didn't take overnight. That happened in March, and it was probably August, so March, April, May, June, July, 6 months of daily in the scriptures, daily soaking in that word, speaking it over myself, just continuously speaking the word, soaking in the word. I memorized practically every healing scripture in the Bible. But on Labor Day weekend of that same year, I helped move one of the pastors here. He was moving to another place. And I literally, as God is my witness, I lifted his fridge by myself. I lifted his fridge, and I have never suffered problems again. God totally, completely did what no man could do. That's what God is. He is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker, and he will be your miracle worker if you will believe. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he said to the father who was so desperate for his son because a demon grabbed him and threw him in the fire, and he said, Jesus, if I went to your disciples and they couldn't do anything, can you please help me? He was desperate. And Jesus said to him, even then, and that's a desperate situation. That's a very desperate. He said to the man, if you can believe. There are no shortcuts to this. If you can believe. If you can believe. If you can believe. Well, the reality is, you can believe. If you will set your heart to believe Christ, if you will set your mind to study the scriptures, if you will soak in these scriptures, it doesn't matter what comes against you. God will help you to prevail. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.